I appreciate the Senate leadership for facilitating an open and honest discussion this morning, and I look forward to speaking with the Minority Caucus this afternoon. Making sure that we bring tax dollars Missourians send to Washington back to Missouri by strengthening Medicaid is the most important issue facing our economy and our state today, and I'm encouraged that the members of the House and the Senate are spending real significant time looking at it. Like my meeting with the House Majority Caucus last week, today was an opportunity to discuss ways to move forward and strengthen Missouri, Medicaid in Missouri, the Missouri way. Once again, among the reforms we had a good discussion about were the five areas that I think that we can clearly move forward would be to protect taxpayers by making sure we have triggers and sunsets in there and expending Missouri taxpayer dollars in Missouri. Promote responsibility through financial incentives, penalties, co-pays, and whatnot. Market-based approaches so that we make sure that we keep the market-based pressures on costs and on quality. Improve care coordination and quality, things like the equivalence of reimbursement between doctors and Medicare and Medicaid. Reward work. We want ramps, not cliffs here. So I look forward to continuing this productive dialogue to ensure we bring the tax dollars Missouri and send to Washington back to work here in Missouri. I also mentioned to them that this afternoon I'll be talking with Secretary of Health and Human Services Sebelius to continue the discussion on a number of issues we're working through there. But all in all, it was a good, solid, open, thoughtful discussion. I appreciate the Senator's time. With that, I'll be glad to take questions. Well, as I've said before, they've issued orders to say that you've got to get to 138 in some fashion. I do think, though, that one of the things that I talked to the Senate folks about is thinking about this. Sure, there may be a series of waivers at some point, but you have to think about this in terms of what can we do in Missouri to improve and reform Medicaid going forward with this expansion to make it better. And I think we had a good and thoughtful discussion about, rather than just looking at this as a waiver process, look about this as a potential legislative process. Because ultimately, if we were to seek waivers from HHS, and I'd certainly be willing to do that, as we do on a number of things time and time again, I think that the most important thing about that is to do that in the context of legislation that puts in our laws the reforms that can guarantee that we can get the reforms that are necessary to improve our Medicaid system. Yeah, David. First of all, they were very curious, very thoughtful, very respectful, very specific. We had a really good discussion. A lot of questions, a lot of answers, and a lot of good back and forth. Clearly, as we sit here, the most significant amount of the legislative action to date has been over on the House side, in the measure that moved out of committee last week, that House Bill 700 vehicle, and I did talk to them about that, most probably being the opportunity here to get reforms this year, and I think that for a lot of reasons the issue is a little, in essence, legislatively mature in the House, but you're seeing solid realization of how important it is to get this done and get it done this year, so in that sense, I thought the message clearly moved the knowledge down knowledge base down the field, and it was a very respectful and solid discussion. As far as Sebelius, we've seen a lot of interaction over the last few months with her. I've had a chance to talk to her, and I just want to make sure to begin to define how broad these lanes are, if there's a potential waiver subsequent to the just to make sure that we've got that we're operating in the right area when we talk about triggers and sunsets and co-pays and promoting responsibility and these market-based approaches. And I want to make sure that we're staying in real time with what other states are doing, and thought that another discussion with the Secretary would be a good opportunity to do that.
Would you be willing to call a special session?
Yeah, Rudy first, then we'll come to it, then to Marshall, okay. Well,
and it says if you think it's expansion, then waivers, they want it waivers, then
I think they both move together. I think the greatest leverage we have to improve and strengthen Medicaid comes in the context of accepting these federal dollars and using those to improve the healthcare system of the state. Plus, using these dollars clearly gives us a state budgetary benefit. And I think that was another important part of the discussion, the clear understanding that the 3 years, 100% federal dollars does have a real difference on our budget, and it is a positive impact on our state budget, that our ability to better use match dollars and to take especially some of the mental health system costs and drive those to a new thing could, as we said in the documents in the presentation by Budget Director Lubring, the first full year would be $126 million additional general revenue. So I think the appropriators in there, we're also very cognizant that moving forward has a solid positive impact on the state budget. And that, I mean, we didn't get into any long discussions about the economics of $2 billion in the economy now, but let's not kid ourselves, $2 billion. I mean, when you look at this from an economic perspective, I mean, the question, as simple as you can make the question, is $300 for every man, woman, and child that they'll pay in taxes in 2014. The choice is whether we spend that money in Missouri or whether it's spent in other states and other places. And on that front, I think there is a clear understanding that the economic impact of expending those dollars to improve our system here in Missouri is something that is important. Yeah, Marshall, sorry. Well, I think that a couple things. We'd have to be really, really close. As governor, I've had two special sessions. One was highly productive. The other one did not succeed at what the initial expectations were. The one that succeeded, one could argue, by getting pension costs under control as well as restarting the auto industry in this state. Yes, had another announcement today of another subcontractor over on the Kansas City side, was very worthy. But in that one, we had strong, solid consensus. We got very close to getting that deal done right before the end of the session. If you'll recall, the stop there was on the pension side, if you look back at that. So the point is here, we'd have to be pretty close because I think we still are in a zone with 6 weeks to go that we clearly have time to get this done. We clearly have time to move this forward. I'll continue to press this because I think it is a unique generational opportunity for us to improve both healthcare and our healthcare system. And I don't want this train to pass us by without us inuring the most positive benefit of Missouri taxpayer dollars on it. Yeah. Well, I think as you look, I've said from the very beginning of this process that we started out last year in kind of a binary choice here, yes and no. You know, and if you look at the progress that has been made, it is substantial, it is real, and the discussion has fundamentally shifted as we begin to embrace the details of this. So I've seen this all along as an education process, not as some sort of debate, not as some sort of point counterpoint, but an education process. Because as you get to the end of this education process, you see very clearly two things. Number one is $2 billion. 100% federal money, our taxpayer dollars, let's try to spend it in the state. And two, you see a unique historical opportunity to put personal responsibility, to put market forces inside our Medicaid system. I think the more I talk with legislators, the more focused they become on this opportunity. And as we enter this final 6 weeks of the session, I'm finding more and more lawmakers interested in talking about the details, and I see that as a solid, positive sign. We'll turn all that to the Attorney General's office to deal with any pending litigation. We'll just leave it to them. It's their deal.
From the subpoenaed documents that has been turned over to the Senate, Senator Schaefer found some material that was submitted to the Department of Homeland Security in December of 2012. It includes a Real ID Act benchmark checklist, and it says that becoming compliant with Real ID and everything except for saying we are being compliant with Real ID, including a database of material that is to be held for 7 to 10 years in electronic format.
I've not seen any of those documents you're referring to, and you know, wouldn't want to comment on things I haven't had a chance to see. The Secretary has already issued, the rulings on 138. The question is how do you get there? What market forces can you use to get to 138? So that decision has already, that was part of the legislation that was passed. That's been part of the findings, statements. There are lots of ways to get there, and I think that's one of the intriguing things that folks have begun to spend some intellectual time on here is that, wow, you can get copays, you can get reforms in those areas, or you can talk about the potential of using those dollars to an exchange if it meets a competitive price number. But no, I won't be asking her to go back on what the federal law is or to make a change on what they've already ruled on.
Yeah, Bob.
You're always pleasantly surprised by the commitment to issues of folks to get elected office. I mean, we had a really substantive, thoughtful discussion, probably 20 or 25 direct questions from many, many of the members, and a very direct and cordial and respectful interplay, and I don't say that surprises me, but the public just kind of assumes that we close the doors here and everybody goes in the room and they start throwing books and yelling and screaming at each other and stuff, and it's just it's not the way I operate. And you know, I remember the first meeting I had after I was elected, way over in the AG's office at the time with the speaker and the leader on each side, both Democrat and Republican, and I said, you know, let's just try to work together, and let's be cordial and respectful to each other, and we have been. And today was exactly there. I mean, not everybody agreed in there by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't say that's a surprise to me personally, but I think to the public, we really do try to do things differently here in Missouri. I mean, we really do try to listen and show each other respect, and I thought the same was true in the House Majority Caucus last week, and that's a good sign for the democracy here in Missouri, and something I want to continue to foster. I'm not aware of any significant policy changes, but you can feel free to follow up with Channing or somebody at Social Services on that. Thanks, guys. Thank you.